Pope.
Nudie.
We're back, baby.
Back and forth. Is that so what we're calling it?
Yeah. Yeah, we're still calling it back and forth. Cool. Everyone, all our loyal fans, we've been out of commission for about a year.
Keep reaching out to us, begging us to do another episode. Here we are.
Yeah. Like, sorry, guys. My inbox is full from requests to do it, so here we are. But, anyways. But we're back. But we're going to do things a little different this time around. You know, we realize what the fans want, what the listeners want, and we're going to be focusing more on our beloved Utah Jazz.
Yep.
Especially this time.
Yeah. But, a lot to talk about.
Tons to talk about. We got a good podcast going on here. You know, we got the first playoff series win since 2010. We've got the next series outlook, which, I mean,
great.
That'll be fun, I'm sure.
Looks great.
But we'll just dive right onto that. So, for those of you who didn't see, the Jazz won their first playoff series since 2010 against the LA Clippers this past Sunday.
Somehow, if you're listening to this and you're not aware of how the Utah Jazz are doing, like send me a message. I don't know what kind of person you are. Like, how are you listening to this? But yeah, the Jazz.
Yeah, there's a lot of
the Jazz won.
Yeah, there's a lot of paid professionals that can help you out if you don't know what's going on, because, like, it's kind of a big deal, especially if you're in Utah.
Oh, yeah.
And all over the world, of course, but, you know. But, Pope, walk us through it. Tell me your feelings about that Game 7.
Game 7 was, like, Game 7 was how we're going to win, you know? That was, the reason why we're a good team is that we have enough people. Just at a very basic level, we have enough people on our team who can get hot that they can carry us through. I mean, in that game, Hayward had like 20 points or something. What was it? Between Hayward, George Hill, Ronnie Hood, Joe Ingles, the random favors game, and then the emergence of Joe Johnson as a good scorer for us. Raul Neto adding like his random 4 to 6 points every game.
Minus game six. Yeah. Game six.
Well, game six is bad. Like between those people, enough of them get hot every night that we can beat any team, honestly. And that's how it works, especially when we shoot as many 3-pointers as we do. Like with those.
Yeah, which is funny.
Yeah. Like shooting that high volume of 3-pointers from our starters. That leads to high variance. Like one night you're on, one night you're not. That's part of the reason why we lost is people like Rodney Hood, Joe Ingles didn't make threes. And then that's a solid 12, 15 points that we just missed out on.
Right.
What's your overall take on the series?
No, I'm with you. I felt like this series was like the perfect example of our season, right?
Yeah.
Because this whole season,
very true.
Like Favors is out. Like has Favors played this season? I don't even know if he ever played, but he's been out the whole season.
It says he played almost like 40 games, which sounds impossible.
That sounds impossible, but apparently he did. And George Hill missed a ton of time between the lacerated lip and the broken toe and the sprained thumb. You know, so we had players injured all season.
Yeah.
Yet we still won 51 games, which is pretty cool if you think about it. And so that's what it felt like. It felt like it was just like a combination of the whole. I think that's why the team didn't panic when Rudy went down in game one. And then when Hayward went out, it was kind of like, all right, well, same thing as always.
Yeah. And one thing that emerged over the season is Rudy Gobert as an offensive player. Stepping into the DeAndre Jordan role for us. But. That combined with his, you know, defensive player of the year caliber defense was not something we'd had before. And so that kind of helped us weather that storm of all the injuries is that Rudy was pretty consistent for us during the season. He played 81 games, I think. His offense really mattered for us during the regular season and carried through those stints where George Hill only played like 50 games. Hayward missed like 15 or something, stuff like that. So him to be out and kind of inconsistent during the playoffs meant that the other people, Hood, Ingles, Favors on our team had to step up. And we mostly got that enough to at least get through game 7.
It wasn't perfect, but And, you know, you're talking about people stepping up. How about ISO Johnson? Okay. How about, like,
Joe Jesus?
I mean, he was an all-star, so it shouldn't be so surprising. Yeah, Joe, that's what Snyder said he used to be called. Yeah, right? Blocker. But yeah, like, so here's this guy. He's been an all-star for what? He was an all-star like 9 years or something like that in Atlanta, and he played in Phoenix, and he played all Brooklyn, Miami. And he comes to Utah on like a 3-year deal, and they're like, hey, just come off the bench and score a little bit. And then, I mean, he was huge the entire series.
Yeah.
Because, and not only his scoring, I think it's how he scores. And it's, you know, the, nowadays everyone in the NBA is like up-tempo, run and gun, shoot threes, get down. And Joe Johnson's just so slow. Like, he gets the ball, and, you know, he would get the ball with, like, I don't know, 15 seconds left on the shot clock and somehow take his shot with, like, 0.5 seconds left on the shot clock. And but it was perfect. It's what we needed because the Clippers, we couldn't keep up with the Clippers in transition.
No.
Can't do it.
No.
We don't have the style. We just don't play that style.
Not at all.
And Joe Johnson, what I felt like what he brought to the whole series was just being able to slow it down. So even like if we're only winning by two, being able to take them out of their rhythm, being able to, and I think that's a big reason why you didn't see players like JJ Redick and Jamal Crawford get into rhythms all the time because there just wasn't enough flow for them, you know?
Yeah. And all the time, at least in NBA circles, you'll talk about how you need a player who can just go out there and get you a bucket in crunch time, you know. And they'll talk about, you know, Kyrie Irving, is he a player like that, blah, 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 all these points. But Joe, like, that is Joe Johnson's skill set. He is go get a bucket. And between him and Hayward, we had that for the first time, you know, in forever. We had that just go get a bucket. Oh, yeah. And that helps you win close games. Yeah. That helps you fight back when another team is shooting just crazy over you. That helps you kind of slow the game down. On that kind of just overall level, he really was an asset to our team. Not to mention just like, yo, he's really good. Like, there's been like...
Turns out he's actually a good
player. If anyone's watched the NBA over the last like 5 years, like, you know, like, oh, teams are shooting more three-pointers. They're not shooting as many mid-range twos, all this stuff. But if you can make a mid-range two consistently, then that's not a bad shot. Like, the only reason why mid-range people are moving away from it is because everyone kind of sucks at it. But Joe Johnson's really good at it. So other teams just aren't as prepared for that nowadays, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, I agree. And it's, because nowadays you got the people getting driving into the paint and either kicking out for a three or getting that high percentage. There's not as much of that mid-range game, right?
And probably like half the series, Joe Johnson would drive down, he would switch to Jamal Crawford, and then someone doesn't even come to help him until like he's already in his motion, like got the shot up. They started changing in kind of game six and seven and some of game five once he had just torched them. But he would just, like, work it in the paint.
Oh, yeah. But that's what you saw in, like, game six and game seven, game five and game seven, I guess, since those are our best examples.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, once they did start, like, trapping him a little bit, he made the right play.
Yeah.
He found wide open Joe Ingles in the corner.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Or he finds he was just a really consistent rock. I mean, like, he's been his whole career, I guess. He was a rock. He was just very steady.
Yeah.
Not flashy, just like, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to score.
Yeah.
And you can't stop me. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, this is he's averaged like 16 or 17 points in his career, I think. So it's not like we shouldn't be too surprised by it, but
yeah.
I just think we haven't seen it all season. He hasn't needed to take over all season.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I think that's where credit to Dennis Lindsay goes and Quinn Snyder, like, bringing in him for the playoffs. That's when you need, that's a...
No, like, that just shows, that definitely shows, like, good managing and good coaching. That Hayward goes down in the first game, and we're not just like, all right, Jeff Withey, you play 30 minutes now. You know, like, we would use lineups with, I mean, we would obviously use lots of favors. There was some Diaw at the 5 minutes. There were some, favors, Johnson, favors, Diaw minutes where... Favors played a lot of five, but he wasn't like a true five. Like, there's a lot of switching that around that helped out the team manage those minutes without Rudy immensely. And that definitely, that credit goes to Dennis Lindsay. And then also Quinn Snyder being a very good in-game coach.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I mean, because, like, that's what's funny. You look at Joe Johnson. I mean, I think he's only like 6'7", right? I think he, because he used to be a shooting guard. That's what he kind of
came to. Yeah, he's 6'7". 6'7", 240, though. He's a big dude.
Yeah, no, he's a big, but that's what I'm saying. Like, so he's played guard, but he's versatile enough that when you put him in at like our four spot, and you have him and Hayward and Ingles and Hill, you can switch pretty much across the perimeter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he has, you know, he has that, not to make like a skill set comparison, but he has the body of like LeBron James, like this massive wing who's quick and can play, you know, 3-4 and like can sometimes like do stuff that twos do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 No, I agree. And, you know, along with his play, I think one of the other big keys for me was Joe Ingles' defense, which has been good all season.
Yeah.
But I thought on J.J. Redick was incredible.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, but when I say defense, I'm not just saying, like, oh, he was good at not letting him make a shot. I mean, that guy trash talks more than anyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, I think for him to go down and just kind of bother, just kind of be annoying to J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was huge. Well, J.J. Redick, and then he had Chris Paul for game four and game three. You know, he was always moving around. But I thought his defense was, like, crucial.
Yeah. He's obviously not quick, but he is smart and he knows how to leverage his length against those smaller players that he could stay in front of them pretty well. And for players like Chris Paul, obviously, like, you're going to get beat sometimes. For J.J. Redick, that's good enough, you know.
Yeah. Well, and like players with Chris Paul, let's be honest. I mean, I think he beats most people.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I have never seen someone who looks so like unathletic when you just see him be so like crafty on defense, you know, because he doesn't look he looks very slow when he's playing. Slow-mo Joe.
Yeah.
But he's good. He knows. Yeah. He's smart. He plays angles. He's quicker than he looks. He's big and long, so he can kind of...
Yeah. Like, that makes up for his quickness, his length.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I was also impressed by, like, Snyder putting that trust in him, saying, like, you know what? Go take Chris Paul. Go bother him seriously. A little bit.
And, like, this... I think this just kind of shows, like, what kind of team we are. I mean, this was our first chance to really prove how good we are on a big stage. And the fact that we're coming in here, we're praising Joe Ingles, Joe Johnson, like... Derek Favors played really well. Like, Neto, Neto saved, like, game. He saved our butts in as many games. Yeah, I think it was game five.
Where he had, like, 7 points in, like,
a game. Like, those are the kinds of things you need to happen to win a playoff series. You need to have need to have those kind of people come in and get you minutes. Like, the Warriors wouldn't have been the Warriors the last few years if they weren't getting buckets from Sean Livingston off the bench.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Sean Livingston, Iguodala.
Yeah, like that. Like, that kind of depth is what wins you major games. Because because we have good players in Hayward and Gobert that we can always count on to perform. So then you need everyone else to step up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, And we're talking a lot about all these role players because obviously that I felt like that was the story.
Yeah, it was.
But let's not discredit Hayward. Hayward was, that 40-point game, we should have won game three because of that. He was just, seriously, he was incredible. And my favorite play of Hayward the whole series was when he got the ball in isolation and DeAndre Jordan, like, was taunting him, saying, like, come at me with your defense. You know, like, did you see that play?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's, like, hitting his head, and he's like, hey, I'm, you know, come and do your worst. And Hayward just drove past him and dunked
him. I know. It was like, beautiful. I loved every bit of it.
Take that. So... But yeah, the depth is definitely, I mean, that's key. But even with all that, it wasn't a perfect, I mean, it's our first playoff series in a while.
Yeah.
And it wasn't perfect.
No.
I will say, I have been a huge fan of George Hill's whole season. I think we need to keep him. I think we got to shell out the money to keep him. I do. We'll talk about it another time, but that's my opinion. But his defense, which I thought was, that's kind of what was praised by the signing this offseason, that he's long, that he's pretty good on defense. I just didn't think it was that impressive.
I mean, this is my point just in why I did the about George Hill is just, George Hill is, he's maybe a top 15 point guard at like number 15, you know, I don't think he's top 10.
yeah.
and like to and especially like in this NBA, like you need a top 10 point guard if you want to contend. I know that's like the stupidest, yeah, most reductive, like you need good players to win, but
thank you,
just Josh, that dude. Emphasis on passing and moving the ball around, and we play differently, but being able to score in transition, like you need that to hang with teams like the Warriors, the Cavs, these top tier teams.
Yeah.
And George Hill doesn't necessarily give us that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I mean, he's,
I mean, he's a million hand, years better than Dante Exum, so I'm glad we're have him. And I hope, I would prefer if Shelvin Mack would never play another minute for us, but George, like, he's not top 10, is what I'm saying.
No, but to be fair, I mean, how many teams do have a top 10?
The teams who win in the playoffs every year.
Ah, there we are. So, Golden State and Cleveland.
Yeah, Golden State, Cleveland, the Raptors, Washington, Boston, all the teams are still in it.
Yeah, so, to be fair, like, they're few and far, you know, there's not a lot, but, like, how are you going to convince one of them? I mean, you're going to get Kyle Lowry to sign in Utah this offseason.
Oh, well, yeah, don't do that either. Don't be crazy.
But, yeah, so I, you know, I was impressed with him, and I also, what I thought was a strength this year, without Rudy, our team rebounding was very bad.
Yeah.
And granted, DeAndre Jordan is, that's his strength. He rebounds.
Yeah.
He gets the ball, he rebounds, plays defense. That, you know,
well, I mean, our plan with Favors originally was to have him be on the floor with Gobert and do like some weird big man things and have him guard like fours and threes and stuff. And so then we wouldn't have to worry about Favors' lack of rebounding. But when Gobert goes down, then it's like, all right, Favors, get the ball. And, I mean, you would see our team was pretty good at just, like, players like Hayward grabbing one or two, like Ingles getting a few. But, yeah, Favors isn't, like, what he needs to be on rebound. If he's going to be our center, you know what I mean?
Right. And Hayward was great. I thought Hayward, I mean, I think he was averaging, like, almost 8 a game. Like, I thought that's where you could see he was just trying to win. And,
yeah.
And that I thought his effort was awesome. But, you know, like, you can't let, like, Luke and Boamote get an offensive rebound.
The corpse of Jamal Crawford to grab one or something.
Yeah, I just can't. So, I don't know. But Gobert's back. There's a lot to improve on.
Yeah.
The Warriors are a different animal. It's a different...
Yeah, they are.
It's not as much of a...
But, turns out the Golden State Warriors are a little bit better than the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, so again, for all our listeners who don't follow the NBA, the Golden State Warriors are good.
Spoilers.
They have four All-Stars that start.
Yeah.
Like, not like four, like, oh, I don't know if he should have been. Like, four, like, no, they're pretty good.
They're all right.
So, I mean, Kevin Durant, the MVP from, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Steph Curry, the MVP the last 2 years.
Yep.
And, I mean, Klay Thompson, who is actually really good on defense, and he's just shoots three-pointers. Yep.
Draymond Green, like, low-key, one of, like, the top 10 players in the league.
Yeah, like, who might be the best defensive player. Not Rudy. Rudy's the best.
Right, you're totally. Right.
But Draymond Green's pretty good.
Yeah.
like, it's just, it's a really, really dangerous team, and... As luck would have it, that's who the Jazz get to play next.
Yeah, and so we talked a lot about Joe Johnson's Joe Ingles' defense, George Hill's defense. The thing with the Warriors is that you need five players who are incredibly good defensive players to even hang with them. Like they haven't even this season, they haven't even run much pick and roll with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. Like, once KD was confirmed to go to the Warriors, everyone's like, oh, man, that KD, Steph, pick and roll will be unstoppable. They haven't even used it that much. That's, like that's their secret weapon. Like, they break that out, or they do, you know, Clay and – they do, like, Clay with Draymond, Steph with Draymond, all this stuff. But KD, Steph, pick and roll, that would be unstoppable for us. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We would Ingles would maybe be on KD, I would think. I guess, like, I don't even know who we would have guard those positions. Hayward maybe on Hayward on Steph. Like Hayward is low-key a really good defensive player. I don't know. I don't even know how you would handle that.
Yeah, well, the hard part with Durant is he's like 7'1", even though he lists himself as like 6'9".
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen the picture of him next to Boogie Cousins and DeAndre Jordan, right? And he's like taller than everyone.
Yeah.
Like, he's this huge guy who's incredibly athletic, super good, and he can get a shot.
He's an athletic freak. Like, there's never been a player like him.
Yeah. And so, like, Favors is too slow for him. Gobert is too slow for him. We don't have anyone that's really quick enough to keep up with them. I think what you said, like, you have to have five guys playing defense. I think you just have to bug them and hope they – it sounds funny, but you have to hope they're not going to miss – or you hope they're going to miss some shots. That's kind of
– Yeah, I mean, that's why I would put Ingles on him, is just because he maybe has the length to handle him. Like, Ingles on KD, Hayward on – Steph, you would hide whoever's the worst. You'd hide George Hill on Clay. Quote, hide him on Clay Thompson, because that's what you have to do with the Warriors, you know?
This is where I think it's the only possible way the Jazz could win is if I think Rudy plays like a monster on offense.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. The only possible way. Because if the Warriors switch to their death lineup, right, where it's Draymond Green as a center, Kevin Durant at the four, and then you got Iguodala, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry, if Gobert is not doing good on offense, they just have 3-point shooters everywhere, and they can drive, they can kick it
and
out.
Draymond can play anywhere on the floor. You can, like, Draymond can move up and pull Rudy Gobert up top. That's part of the reason why the Clippers killed us is with that. With Rudy out, but just having screening for Chris Paul with DeAndre Jordan, like those kinds of plays where Draymond would come up and Rudy Gobert would be up top, like they would just burn us down beneath, you know?
Right. No, and that I'm with you, and so that's why I think. But you know, and I was reading this article. I think it was The Ringer. I don't remember somewhere. They were doing this whole thing, and that's what their whole point was saying. Like, look, if Rudy can expose the Warriors' lack of interior defense, it'll force them to put, you know, Zaza Pachulia and JaVale McGee on the court, who aren't awesome. But what it does more than anything, it just takes off one of their
players. Yeah, I mean, and Rudy's way better than both those guys.
Oh yeah, he is, and he could. But by forcing them to maybe have someone out there who can opt to rebound, because if Rudy can eat up the offensive boards, get some easy dunks and things, they're gonna have to adjust somehow, and it's either gonna open up shooters by everyone clamping down, or it's going to.
The problem with that is that so we're killing them on interior, but then we go on their own, like we go down to their end, they make a three, then like maybe we get a bucket down beneath. Oh, we go to their end, they made a three. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just that they have the 3-point volume shooting where that might even matter. Like we need to score like 120 to keep up with them. That's not our team. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, so that's where the issue comes. Not the issue, but that's where. And again, this is like if someone knew how to beat the Warriors, they wouldn't be winning 65 plus games a season. But like, I think the Jazz are the most, they're the most equipped, if you can even say that, to bother the Warriors.
It's an interesting matchup with Rudy being the player he is. Like, Rudy is the key to that series. I mean, Rudy's also the most important player to our team, I feel like.
Right. Yeah. No, but like, so like, well, Rudy the player he is, but also like the tempo we play at. Because if you can sit for 24 seconds and take time to make a shot, and Joe Johnson can post up Steph Curry, and just, you know, because if nothing else, it kind of wears him down and it bothers him. It's not going to stop him. But if you can do that and limit the number of possessions they have as a team, that's your shot. You know, that's what we did with the Clippers, right? The Clippers are averaging over 100 and whatever points a game.
Yeah.
And the Jazz just slowed them down and said, like, you're going to play at our tempo.
I mean, that's just what I'm afraid of, is that the Clippers destroyed us in transition because we're not equipped for that. So the Warriors will just see, they're weak in transition. We're the Warriors. And then they'll just go and score a billion points on us like that.
Like, let's just throw it up to, yeah.
I'm not trying to say the Jazz suck, obviously. All I'm saying is that the Warriors are an extremely good team. There are options for us. Yeah. The Warriors are going to beat us. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, then, so what do you think? You think it's a sweep?
I think the Warriors could go 16-0 in the playoffs. It wouldn't surprise me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The Warriors, I mean,
16-0.
This is a team that won 73 games. And then in the offseason, added one of the top three players in the league. I mean, just like...
But they lost Harrison.
Oh, you're right. He was the key to everything. No, they could go 16-0 and wouldn't surprise me. I do think we'll win one, maybe two, if Rudy is really playing out of his mind offensively. If we won two games, I would consider this an incredible success for us, honestly. If we win one game, yeah, I will think, like, wow, we really pulled something out here. if we win 16 and yeah, if we get swept, I don't think it's a commentary on our team. I think it's a commentary on the Warriors being incredibly dominant.
Right. And that's what I would hope that players like Hayward would look at and say, like, you know what? That's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
But we, you know,
well, that's I guess that's just to, like, take this to the next step. I mean, that's why this Warriors series seems so much more important than it is. If we didn't have anyone up, if we didn't have any big players up after this season, you know, if we had, like, if Raul Neto's contract was up this year, you know, then it would just be like, oh, we're playing the Warriors. They're a generationally good team. Hopefully we win a game or two and come back next year better, you know. But it's like a referendum on, oh, are we going to be able to sign George Hill for not crazy person money? Are we going to be able to sign George Ingles for not crazy person money? Is Hayward going to stay? All this stuff. Yeah. All these super important storylines are wrapped in a series against the Warriors, which is not good.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? So I think they'll get one or two games. I don't know. I hope two, but I mean, Oh, I agree. Everything you just said, that's like it's this really hard time for the Jazz where it's like, hey, we're finally getting good, but we have three free agents this year that if they left, we'd probably be bad.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's this weird time and we got the Warriors. It'd be awesome if we would have gotten like the three seed, because not that San Antonio's bad, but.
Well, I don't know. Did you see that game against the Rockets?
True. They did look off, but. You know, so it's hard, but I will say this. This is my hot take.
All right.
I think we could possibly win the series.
What could percentage possibly chance gonna, would I'll you give us winning?
Like a 1%.
Okay, chance. Well, but, yeah, obviously. Steph, KD, and Clay get injured in the first 10 seconds.
So this is what I'm going to say. So first off, KD missed two games in the Players' Series. Now, he's had like a week to rest, so he probably won't miss any in the Jazz series.
Yeah.
But he's been injured.
Let's say he still has lingering injury problems.
He might have lingering issues. The other thing is, the Jazz have not played the Warriors with their whole team this entire season.
All right, okay.
They never played them once with the entire team healthy. Uh-huh. We missed George Hill. We missed Gobert for one of the games. Hayward for two of the games. And the game where we beat the Warriors at the last game of the season, Hayward did not play for rest. Uh-huh. And Klay Thompson did not play for the Warriors. But they did have Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant. They had everyone. Granted, it was second last game of the season. They knew what they were doing in the playoffs. Yeah. We kind of were still fighting. It's a different atmosphere.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's different. But they haven't seen our team at full strength. And honestly, we haven't seen them at full strength. So I don't know if... You don't really know what to expect. So that's one thing I think.
All right.
Other thing, okay, so injury plus our whole team, full team at strength, is depth. If our bench can outperform their bench, because that's what you got to score more. If you can outplay them when Steph Curry and Kevin Durant have to sit down and rest, like if Joe Ingles and Rodney Hood can get, I don't know, 8 points a game, and Joe Johnson can get his 15 that he's been getting, right? That's going to put pressure on Sean Livingston and on Andre Iguodala to produce.
Right.
And if not them, it's going to put pressure on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant to hit a few more threes. Now, they can do that. Like, and they have done that many times this season. But I think our bench gives us a pretty good shot.
No, definitely.
And the other thing is, I think our coaching. So Steve Kerr is out for the near future. And it's kind of hard to know how much of a mastermind he is and how much of it is just his players are really good.
I think coaches mean a lot. Like, it's not – even though you're the Warriors, I think you still need a good coach. Right. And to be fair, Mike Brown does suck. Their assistant coach is taking over now. Yeah. He's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. And so, like, Steve Kerr's out. Okay. He's injured. And he's the guy who made – right when they won their first plant championship – he made the crazy thing to say, hey, we're going to start Andre Iguodala over Bogey to just stick on LeBron and bother him.
Yeah.
And, like, it worked out awesome. And Quinn Snyder, he is really good at adjustments. Everything you read about him, every time you hear an interview from George Hill or Hayward or anyone, they all just say, like, man, the guy's smart. He knows basketball. He comes up with a good game plan.
Yeah.
And for me, listening to the post game of Game 7, Chris Paul said, because Chris Paul only had 13 points, right? And he said, well, you know what? They changed what they were doing, and they started attacking me up higher, so I couldn't get to my spot, and I just didn't adjust quick enough.
Yeah.
It was my fault I didn't get there. You know, but so Snyder's good at seeing those little things that you can attack.
Yeah.
And so I think he has a chance to put us in the right position to make plays.
Right? Yeah.
So that being said, I think we have a chance.
Like, I feel like if all those – those are all – I 100% agree with you. All those things. If KD isn't what he is, then that means Rudy can be much more of a potent force in the series.
Yeah.
Quinn Snyder can definitely outcoach Mike Brown, all this stuff. If that breaks our way, I feel like it's still like 50-50. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, 50-50 is a heck of a lot better more than like a 5% chance of winning. Like, I'll take that.
So we'll see.
I don't know. And I feel like early on in the first two games, we'll definitely know what kind of series we're getting. If we're gonna get one that's low key competitive and we have a chance, we'll see that. If the Warriors are just gonna do the Warriors, we'll see that.
Right. Well, and I think so. That's I will say. It's been kind of a knock on the Jazz that, like, oh, they're so young.
Yeah.
I kind of think that's where you need it in this playoff series, where. Like, Gobert, I love Gobert, because you just hear every interview, he always says, like, hey, I'm here to win championships. We're here to win. Or they asked him after the series, like, aren't you happy? And he's like, no, because we're not just here to win the first series. We're here to win it all. And it's like that quiet confidence of, like, we can do it that you have to have.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas, like, I think if you're the Clippers going into that series, maybe you've got a few guys saying, like, man, the Warriors beat us by 50 this season. And
yeah, whatever. The Warriors own the Clippers.
Yeah, and so whereas you have now the Jazz, who are kind of, like, almost naive, where it's like, maybe, who knows, maybe they'll shock them. Maybe they'll get some momentum.
Yeah.
But that being said, sorry, Jazz Nation. I just, you know, it's a – that's a – they're a different team. The Warriors.
I still think, you know, I think this is, we are a young team and this is a valuable experience for us. Hayward's, even though Hayward feels like he's been here forever, which he's been here a long time, he's 26, you know. Rudy's only 24, which is crazy. He was like 19. And, I mean, Dante Exum is still incredibly young. Trey Lyles could still turn into something, you know what I mean? We're a young team with a lot going for us in the future. So this kind of experience is good to know, like, what is needed at the next level.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Warriors are incredible. So, like,
you don't
play like a team like this current iteration of the Warriors all the time, but this next level of intensity is something that's really good for everyone to see and get a taste for.
Oh yeah. Because, you know what, let's say, looking into the future, and say everything works out like we want this offseason. We re-sign everyone, plus add a few, cut Mac, cut Alec Burks, add a few veterans, right? Let's say it all works out, and then next year we have to play the Warriors again in the playoffs. You've already been there, so it's like, okay, what did we learn?
Yeah.
They're going to do, like, let's, you know, and so yeah, that experience is, it's kind of like in college football when you have a bowl game. In like January for like the playoffs. And so you have an extra month of practice with your whole team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this is, right? You're getting this extra, I mean, we've already been, the Jazz season would have been over like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Had we not made
the playoffs. Yeah, you need these reps.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can't beat game time. You can't beat experience. Yeah. You can do as much as you can in the practice gym, but this is where you really grow. And so
yeah.
I think the Jazz have a bright future. Could they win? Sure.
Yeah.
But probably not. You know?
Well, I mean, and yeah, we need to do a full on like Jazz after the series. We can do a recap and then like where the Jazz go from here and things like that.
Which could possibly be next Tuesday, everyone. Just keep in mind.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, so we'll dive into that more in the future. But as of now, the playoffs have been excellent. The Jazz have been they've been awesome to watch.
If you came to me before the series and said Jazz win in seven, like I would be so happy about that, you know. There were ups and downs, but if you told me like, oh, the Jazz will win in seven games, like awesome, cool, you know.
Oh, I 100%. If you told me we were in the playoffs against the LA Clippers and we played Game 7 on the road and won, I'd be like, well, this fine. Destiny.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I will say this. Here's my last little pinch of hope for the Jazz. Right. So, last time we go to the Western Conference Finals, like 2007 or 2007, I can't remember.
Yeah.
So, we were a 5 seed playing the Houston Rockets on the road in Game 7, and we won Game 7 on the road in Houston.
Whoa.
Get to the second round. You know who we play?
Who?
Golden State Warriors.
Oh, man.
And we beat them in 5 games.
Are you saying it's destiny for us to beat the Golden State Warriors in 5 games this year?
You better believe it. You better believe if only this version of the Golden State Warriors doesn't have like Andres Biedrins and Steven Jackson.
So they're worse is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're not as good as that Warriors team was when we went to them. But so then that happened, and then we played the Spurs in the finals, got swept. And then the Spurs played the Cavaliers and swept them. So, like, you know, it didn't turn out super great. But
yeah.
There's always a hope.
There's always that hope, man.
But anyways, well, I'm done.